Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Friday, October 20th, 2017. So glad you allowed us to close out your week. The weekend is near. MSU homecoming is here. Oh, boy. Going to be a fun weekend for a lot of you Michigan State fans, seeing as though tonight marks MSU Madness. The homecoming parade is taking place this evening as well. You got the Michigan State and Indiana game tomorrow. So that means we've got a packed hour in store for all of you out there. Also, tonight marks week 9 in local high school football action, the final week of regular season high school football. And then we talk playoffs. Crazy, right? So on today's current sports, we have a loaded show in which we will have not one, not two, but three guests that will join us throughout the next 60 minutes. We will chat with Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Gant will help us preview the Michigan and Penn State big game that everyone is talking about. A lot of implications depending on who wins that game on Saturday evening. That will be a primetime matchup. College Game Day will be in the house for that matchup. After we chat with Alan, we will hit our first break, and then we will talk with Zach Berridge, WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. He will help us preview the final night of regular season high school football action. You do not want to miss that. And then to close out the show, we'll bring it home with our dear friend, Otis Wiley, former Michigan State linebacker. Otis will, of course, dive into the Michigan State football game as the Spartans will welcome the Indiana Hoosiers tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 p.m. And, of course, we will talk with Otis about the unfortunate news concerning Michigan State junior running back L.J. Scott, who was arrested on Wednesday due to driving on a suspended license. This is the, count them, seventh time he has had that charge or a similar charge. So the status for LJ, we don't know. Nothing has been released from the team. Will he play? Won't he play? Will he sit out a half? Who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens tomorrow afternoon. But we'll talk about the mistake of LJ with Otis Wiley. All the while allowing you to be a part of the fun. You know, there's multiple ways you can weigh in here live on the air. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there right under the live stream, or even join us via Twitter. At Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners.
All right, and we start by giving you a quick rundown of week 9 of the high school regular season. Crazy, right? High school football comes to an end, the regular season at least, tonight. Week 9, you can catch a few of these games if you're trying to get out and about and enjoy some local high school football action. Grand Ledge at Holt, Okemos at East Lansing, Lansing Sexton at Lansing Eastern, Mason at Lansing Catholic, Corunna at Fowlerville, Ionia at Lakewood, Bath at Perry, Weberville at Morris, also Portage Northern at DeWitt, and Marshall at Portland, along with a few other games. We'll dive into week 9 of local high school football action with, again, Zach Beerich, sports reporter and anchor of WILX-TV10. Spartan fans will finally get their first chance to see the newly renovated Breslin Center tonight for MSU's annual MSU Madness event. Yeah, and you'll get a chance to check out this year's Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams. Fans will be able to get autographs from their favorite coaches and players and get a chance to watch the men's and women's team scrimmage. Doors will open at 8:30 p.m. and admission is totally free. Keep in mind that MSU has stepped up security measures and no bags will be allowed inside the Breslin Center. I'm trying my best to conserve my voice because it's going to be a crazy day for me today. Isaac, as you know, man, my schedule today is nuts, man. I don't think I've ever done a day like this. I'm, of course, hosting the show. And then at 2 o'clock, I sign off. And then I'm a part of a panel discussion for the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic later on at 2:30. I have to be down there at 2:30. Thank goodness it's in this building. And then after that, I'm emceeing MSU Homecoming alongside you for the second year. I know you're excited about that.
Very.
And then I'm heading over to MC MSU Madness for my third straight year. What a day. This should be fun, right?
I know. I'm excited to see what you do for lunch and dinner coming up because that'll be a true feat.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I got to squeeze food in at some point throughout this afternoon and into the evening. All right. MSU Field Hockey will host number 25 Iowa this afternoon for Senior Day. The Spartans, 8-8 overall, are looking for their third win in Big Ten play. MSU is fresh off a 3-2 road win against Indiana. Today's match is set to start at 3 p.m. After splitting a home-and-home with Bowling Green to start the season last week, Danton Cole and the Michigan State hockey team is back at Munice Arena to host a game, of a home-and-home series, this time against Western Michigan. Tonight's meeting is the first home-and-home meeting against the Broncos since 2013. The Spartans are 1-1 on the season, while the Broncos are 2-2-1, fresh off a tie and a loss against number 15 Clarkson. The puck will drop at Munn at 7:05 p.m. Tomorrow's game at Lawson Arena in Kalamazoo, Michigan, will also start at 7:05. Damon Rensing and the number 9 Michigan State men's soccer team is hitting the road to take on Northwestern today at Laney and Sharon Martin Stadium in Evanston, Illinois. MSU will enter the pivotal Big Ten game with a 10-2-2 overall record and a 4-0-2 mark in Big Ten play. Northwestern will enter the game 5-9-0 overall and 1-5 in Big Ten action. MSU had a chance to rest up this week after Tuesday's game against Oakland University was canceled due to scheduling conflicts on the Golden Grizzly side. Tonight's game, 8 p.m. Unfortunate news out of the camp of Michigan State football after a career-best 194 rushing yards in the win over Minnesota last weekend. MSU junior running back L.J. Scott was arrested Wednesday for driving with a suspended license for the 7th time, according to the Lansing State Journal. Scott, a Hubbard, Ohio native, was arrested and eventually released on a personal recognizance bond. According to ELPD, Scott has not yet been arraigned. It's not clear why Scott's license was suspended in the first place. Head coach Mark D'Antonio has not said whether or not Scott will play when the Spartans host Indiana tomorrow afternoon. All right, both the MSU women's soccer and volleyball teams are traveling to College Park on Saturday to take on the University of Maryland Terrapins. The soccer team comes into play with a 6-10 overall record, looking to beat up on Maryland on their senior day. The Spartans will kick off at 7 p.m. And after a 3-1 win over the Michigan Wolverines on Wednesday, Kathy George and the number 10 MSU women's volleyball team will take on Maryland at 5:30 p.m. And MSU football, fresh off a 30-27 road win in the rain against the University of Minnesota last Saturday. Number 18 MSU will host the University of Indiana Hoosiers for homecoming. The Spartans will come into the contest as a 6.5-point favorite for the game. MSU is 5-1 on the season and undefeated through conference play so far. A win against the Hoosiers will double the Spartans' win total from last season and make the team bowl eligible. Saturday's game scheduled for 3:30 p.m. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Oh, I would be remiss if I didn't pass this news along either. The Detroit Tigers have hired a new manager. Ron Gardenhire has been hired as the next manager of the Tigers. The team made that announcement official today. Gardenhire spent the season as the Arizona Diamondbacks bench coach. He managed the Minnesota Twins for 13 years, leading them to 6 postseason appearances. He was fired after the 2014 season. He brings a reputation as a player's manager and was a help to first-year Diamondbacks manager Torey Luvullo. All right, that wraps up your quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/currentsports where we have the live stream up and running, or join us via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports.
If I didn't say anything, do you think they're gonna come at him still?
Would they be as motivated?
Hey, I want them motivated to the fullest. We love the competition. We don't hide from nobody. I want to be crazy and say, come after my son. You think he's gonna just sit there and let you well up on him?
You got that part down.
Coming back. But see, here's the thing. This is what Lonzo understands. When he do good, everybody can be with you. When you do bad, they'll jump off the bandwagon. But you look to the side of you, man, your daddy gonna be there all the time, whether you do good or bad. Because it's all good to me. He only wanted to impress me and himself. He don't worry about all the fans. Let us finish out the season. Then we see one game, that don't do nothing. I'm not that'll do one time to get back up.
Here's my issue. Here's my issue, excuse me, Neil. Here's my issue with what I saw from Lonzo. Lack of aggression. I wanted him to make things happen for the other guys because I think that they're ill-equipped to make those opportunities for themselves. I didn't see that from Lonzo tonight. How do you explain that?
You're not going to see that because that's your game. That's why nobody wants to play with you. See, everybody wants to play with Lonzo. Let them people get the feel for the game. See,
he buckled his knees.
Yes.
He buckled Stephen A's knees.
You just want to be aggressive, take over the game. That's why you were standing over here, man. I wouldn't want to play with you. Because when things go bad, you want to take all the shots. Guess what? We're going to lose anyway. But at least when he loses, Lonzo see what he got.
Yes, happy Friday. Happy Friday is what I like to say. It is October 20th, 2017. Some Aaliyah back and forth to start your Friday. Shout out to D-Town, Detroit Stand Up. Just wanted to start with some funny entertainment on today's current sports before we dive into college football talk with Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. That was the voice of the father of Lonzo Ball, the highly touted incoming NBA rookie. Lonzo Ball LeVar Ball, excuse me, LeVar Ball is the father. Lonzo is the player. LeVar Ball joined the broadcast on ESPN Sports Center along with Neil Everett and Stephen A. Smith, and it was pretty entertaining, I must say, because I wanted to just tune in to see how LeVar Ball was going to justify his son going 1-for-6 from the floor and putting up just 3 points. After all of this hype, you know, Lonzo Ball, you know, he's going to be the rookie of the year, you know, the reality TV show on Facebook, and 3 points in his debut. And I do believe that Lonzo has a ton of potential and will eventually pan out to be a solid player in the National Basketball Association. We got to give him some time. It's only one game out of 82. And one game out of, I think, will be a lengthy career for Lonzo Ball. But LeVar, I tell you. And, you know, it was so interesting because I saw that Patrick Beverley, who did a great job guarding Lonzo throughout that entire game, Patrick Beverley noted that, well, he actually told Lonzo that, hey, man, people are going to come at you this year because of your father, LeVar Ball, and his big mouthpiece, basically. So I kind of feel bad for Lonzo because, you know, he's a good kid. He seems like a great kid, and I think he has a lot of potential as a player in the league. But his father's mouth has now put a target on his back. So we'll see how he deals with that throughout his rookie season. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That was a bad night in L.A. for the Lakers, at least, but It was a fun night for L.A. Dodgers fans, seeing as though the Dodgers are now headed to the World Series for the first time since 1988. That's when Kirk Gibson, the MSU alum Kirk Gibson, led the team to a dramatic upset of the Oakland A's. We all know the famous fist pump, right, from Gibby. And now the Dodgers are in the World Series. How about that? An 11-1 win over the Chicago Cubs last night. I was following that one as well, and gosh, that has to hurt, you know, for Chicago Cubs fans out there because, you know, there was a lot of hype coming off a World Series win for the Cubs, and the Dodgers just kind of cruised to a 4-1 series win. So we'll see what the Dodgers do in the World Series. Of course, they are awaiting the winner of the New York Yankees and Houston Astros matchup. Justin Verlander is on the mound tonight. Well, I should say today for the Houston Astros. I know a lot of local Detroit Tigers fans are rooting for Justin Verlander to get the job done and to keep hope alive for the Houston Astros. Also, congratulations to the Tigers. I think they got the right guy with the Garden Hire hire. I like that, Isaac. Garden Hire Hire. You knew I was going to bring that's easy. That was an easy
should
one.
Should I respond to that, or no, should I just don't. Look blankly at your face?
Yeah, just, you know, I'm corny, man.
Yeah.
and also, you know, speaking of the Tigers, though, some bad news when it comes to Miguel Cabrera. I want to pass through all of this because I didn't get to these in the headliners. But Miguel Cabrera's wife of 15 years filed for divorce just prior to the start of the 2017 baseball season. Another off-field distraction that Miggy now has to face as he struggled through the worst year of his professional career. And he's going through the paternity suit with another young woman as well. Not a great year for Miguel Cabrera, not a great year for the Tigers. And hopefully the hire of Ron Gardenhire can at least get this team back on track, right? Yeah, not a great year for Detroit Tigers fans. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Just want to briefly touch on this before we bring on Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. But, you know, I posted this on my Facebook homepage, tweeted it out as well, and we put together a story when it broke on WKAR.org concerning LJ Scott, the junior running back for the Michigan State football team. News broke yesterday from the Lansing State Journal that Scott was arrested on Wednesday for driving on a suspended license. This is the seventh time that Scott has faced the same or a similar charge. And we don't know what the status is of Scott. We don't know if he's going to sit out a half, he's going to sit out a quarter, if he's going to play at all. We just don't know. It's kind of up in the air right now. But it's very unfortunate because looking at his performance last week against Minnesota, he rushed for 195 yards, a career best, 195 yards, two touchdowns in that three-point win over the Golden Gophers. And, you know, we praised him on Monday's Current Sports, and it looked like, you know, he was going to be the guy moving forward. But when you have a distraction like this, I'm curious to see what is going to happen with LJ Scott this Saturday, tomorrow, and how this affects him mentally, because LJ is already going through a lot mentally, I believe, when it comes to his game itself with the turnover problems. And now, you know, fans immediately, when I post this on my Facebook page, I mean, gosh, there were a few Spartan fans out there that were really harsh, you know, called him an idiot. Called him a dummy. I mean, it was really harsh. It was very harsh criticism that I saw, at least according to my social media pages, when it comes to LJ Scott. And you know, it's his seventh time, for goodness sake. Seventh time. That's a lot.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Right.
Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me seven times.
Well, you think like Coach D'Antonio and the coaching staff would say, all right, you know, you've had six issues with driving on a suspended license. You don't need a car. We're going to make sure you don't have a car riding around campus. We're going to give you a bike and ride around campus like Isaac Constance, okay? So I'm curious, you know, why he was even behind the wheel. A lot of unanswered questions that we won't get the answers to right here on October 20th, but we'll see what happens on Saturday. We'll also ask Otis Wiley, you know, his thoughts on this situation and how he believes MSU football should go about the LJ Scott situation. That's later on this hour. But first, I want to invite right now our first guest on today's Current Sports. His name is Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. He has been joining us throughout the college football season thus far, giving us his thoughts on the U of M football team. He joins us right now. First off, Alan, welcome to the show. How you doing, my man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Always good chatting with your brother. A big game, the Wolverines heading to Happy Valley to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions. This is a team that is ranked in the top five. Again, now I believe they haven't really been really tested this season. They haven't really played anybody just yet. They haven't gone against a Michigan defense that is number one in the nation right now. And there's a lot of, you know, if Penn State wins this game, you know, this immediately in the eyes, I believe, of the College Football Playoff Committee keeps them in that top five ranking, you know, among the elites in the nation. And if Michigan goes on to lose that game, I think that the fan base becomes even more irritated evaluating what has happened these past 2 weeks, a loss to rival Michigan State, and then you needed overtime to top Indiana. What is on the line right now in the eyes of the Wolverine fan base when it comes to this game?
I think the first and foremost, I mean, looking at the Big Ten Championship, that's the number one thing that's definitely on the line. I mean, you lose this game, it sets you back, and you're really going to need some help from here on out for the rest of the season. So I think as, you know, a Michigan fan, you got to definitely be on the edge of your seat and going to see what type of Michigan team shows up. It's going to be the team that's been barely squeaking out wins throughout the whole year, or is it going to be the team that really shows out and proves that they should be there on a big stage?
What allowed Indiana to push that game to overtime, Alan? What holes did you see?
They controlled the tempo. I mean, you know, the defense did play pretty well for Michigan, but overall, Indiana controlled the tempo. They stayed poised. And I thought they had a great game plan going into that game. I guess at the end of the day, you know, talent, you know, ran out. You know, obviously Michigan being more talented than Indiana, but I mean, they were right there in every year for the last 3 years. Indiana has played Michigan very, very, very tough, and he just ran out of gas at the end.
Where in the world has Karan Higdon been? Because I watched him on Saturday against Indiana and said, wow, I mean, this is a running back that has a lot of talent. On the first play of overtime, they right. give it to him. You know, he bounces from the inside to the outside. There's nobody on the outside for Indiana that was going to slow him down. I think they tried to cheat inside. But he takes it to the house. He had a remarkable game. Right. Where has Karan Higdon been? Did that surprise you on Saturday?
You know, it didn't really surprise me. I mean, if you really look at this Michigan offense, especially in the running back, there's a lot of depth. So at any given moment, any running back can go off and run for about 150 yards plus two touchdowns. You know, anybody can do that. But because it starts up front with the offensive line, I thought that Coach Harbaugh had a good game plan establishing the run. And for that given game, it was Caron Higdon had a great game. He was able to carry the workload for that team, and overall it turned out to be pretty good for him.
When it comes to that matchup as well, I mean, we saw a school record 16 penalties, Allen.
Right.
And Jim Harbaugh is big when it comes to discipline for his squad. First off, look at 16 penalties, and what's your initial reaction? Because I don't think they haven't shown that all year. They haven't shown that ever in school history, for goodness sake.
Right. And that's very uncharacteristic for that team to have 16 penalties. And really, you got lucky with having those 16 miscues because Indiana definitely took advantage with those penalties. So, I mean, that's something that you could definitely clean up. A lot of the penalties were, you know, self-inflicted. You know, you can't necessarily blame the refs for a certain amount of penalties, but those are mistakes that definitely would be correct, and I expect Coach Harbaugh to get those guys ready to go going into Happy Valley this Saturday.
How much do you believe carryover had to do with the way they performed against Indiana coming off the loss to Michigan State? How much carryover did you evaluate, if any, in that matchup this past Saturday?
Actually, watching the game, and especially the way they came out, I thought that there really wasn't too much carryover. I mean, you can't live in the past, and obviously it was a tough loss going against your rival against Michigan State. But, you know, every day is a new day, and I think that Coach Harbaugh did a pretty good job of getting those guys ready, understand that, you know, the big picture of going to the Big Ten Championship and winning the Big Ten Championship is still at reach, and you got to move past the loss against Michigan State.
Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Allen Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Allen, if you could answer this question, I think Jim Harbaugh needs to hire you on his coaching staff. Saquon Barkley, he's amazing. And right now he is right in the thick of the conversation concerning Heisman Trophy candidates. The man is averaging 108 rushing yards per game this season, almost 7 yards per carry. He averages almost 3 yards after contact. The Michigan defense is one that is ranked number one in the nation, allowing 85.8 rushing yards per game. Don Brown's offense is very stout. How do you evaluate that matchup, and how do you go about slowing down Saquon Barkley? Can you stop him, or is he just too good?
You know, looking at Saquon Barkley, I mean, he's by far been the best running back in college football so far this year. I mean, even I remember looking at the Iowa game. It was unbelievable, him breaking tackles. I remember one particular play, he hurdled a defender and still got about 8 yards. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's done so far this year. But I definitely would say the key to slowing him down on the defensive side is gang tackling. You're not going to really bring him down with one arm. You can't just have one or two guys running to the ball. You got to have all 11 hats running to the ball, and not just stopping him in the rushing attack, but I mean, the guy can, you know, he catch, he returns kickoff, so you got to stop him in all three phases of his game, and that's what I believe will help Michigan get that victory. If you slow him down in all three phases of the game and put the game in McSorley's hands, you got a really good chance of winning that game.
I'm just kicking around scenarios here, Allen, because I think if Michigan wins this game, I think they get right back on track and, you know, reiterate that they do deserve to be possibly in the conversation of a college football playoff appearance, and it at least keeps that hope alive. But, you know, if Michigan loses, you know, I believe you risk irritating a fan base that is already on the edge right now due to the last 2 weeks. And I think, you know, the whole storyline of Harbaugh being the savior for this program, that dialogue takes a big hit. Just how big is this game? How badly does Michigan need this win in order to not further irritate this fan base and to kind of keep the overall perception of Jim Harbaugh being the savior for this program?
Right. You know, honestly, as a player, especially being a former player, when I was, you know, in this situation with my former coach, Coach Hoke, and things were going that well for us, you got to ignore all the outside noise. At the end of the day, the fans aren't the one that are putting in all the work and putting in all the hours every day, almost 365 days a year. You got to ignore all the outside noise and just focus on in-house and what's going on in that locker room and going on between that team. So that's the first thing I would definitely say as far as, you know, what the fans might be saying or what the media might be saying, because you can only control what you can't control. Overall, absolutely, this game is definitely a big game. I mean, obviously you got the Big Ten Championship at stake going into this game. And you got an opportunity to put your name back out there with this win against Penn State. I mean, Penn State, I think, is the number two team in the country. So, yeah, absolutely, you win this game, you're right back in it, not only in the Big Ten conversation as far as going to the championship or winning the championship, but right back into the college playoff conversation. So, overall, I mean, control what you can control, and definitely everything will play out for itself.
Alan, you aren't too far removed from the Michigan football program. You played from 2012 to 2015. I just, you know, if you can in any way describe, you know, what it's like playing for the University of Michigan football team, because I have to imagine that's a lot of pressure and you know, a very short fuse for this fan base that is used to excellence and success. How much pressure is it playing for this program as a player?
I mean, when you look at it, you look at the tradition, you look at the history, you know, the Bo Schembechlers, you know, Lloyd Carr, all the great players that came through Michigan, you know, Charles Woodson, Braylon Edwards, Chris Perry. I mean, you go all down the line with all the great players. Coming into it, yeah, you definitely want to live up to the expectation of what it means to be a Michigan man. So I guess I could say there would be a little bit of pressure as you're, you know, coming into the university, especially as a young guy. But overall, I mean, it's just as long as you do what you're supposed to be doing, both on the field and in the classroom, and, you know, just representing that block in the way it should be represented, everything will play for itself. I mean, the 4 years I was there, it was an unbelievable experience. Not only just, you know, playing, but the relations I built with my teammates, the relations I built with people on campus. I mean, it's just an unbelievable feeling to be a part of, especially this tradition. So, overall, I wouldn't necessarily say there's so much pressure. Just, you know, you got to do you and understand what it means to be a Michigan man.
Alan, how hard was it for you and your fellow teammates to try and block out the noise? And how much did you guys pay attention to what was happening on social media, the criticism on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook? Did you guys, be honest with you, did you guys read that stuff, and did it affect anybody on the team?
You know, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, you obviously read, you know, what's being out there on social media. I mean, we're human as well, so it's not like we don't see what's being said. And, I mean, obviously a lot of people have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, people follow the news. People follow social media. So, obviously, we saw what was being said. And for the good thing about that is we use that as ammunition. We use that as motivation to help us prepare for whoever we were playing for that week. So we absolutely definitely see what's going on out there, but at the end of the day, you still have to ignore it, because all the stuff that's going on out, you know, social media and outside of the team, you can't control that. You can only control what's in-house.
Emotionally, how much did that affect Brady Hoke when he was there?
You know, I don't really think it affected him too much. I mean, he did a great job of keeping us focused, definitely keeping the coaching staff focused and keeping himself focused of, you know, the job that he had. And, you know, overall, I mean, like I said, that really doesn't play into a factor as far as, you know, what we do out in the field. I mean, because, you know, we're the ones that are practicing every day. We're the ones that are studying film, understanding the game plan. So, like I said, the noise is noise. That's always going to be noise, whether you're doing really good or whether you're doing really bad. You have to ignore it, because at any given day you can be beaten. Any given day you can win a game. So that's really what I would say as far as how, you know, Coach Hoke handled it.
Yeah, that's very true. Alan, before we get you out of here, and almost, you know, speaking with you, Alan, it almost, again, because you're not too far removed, it almost, you know, feels like you still play for the team, brother. Need to get you your jersey, dust off that jersey and get back out there, right? Alan, last question. What's your relationship like with the current players on this team?
Yeah, I have definitely a good relationship with the guys. I mean, a lot of the freshmen, actually, I think, you know, we're pretty young this year. Really didn't have too much of a relationship with them. A lot of the guys that I had relationships with, so I was probably off last year's team. Mm-hmm. I still have a couple guys that, you know, I talked to on the team.
And who are those?
We got Mike McCray. We got Tyree Cannell. I'm trying to think who else was on the team. I mean, Brandon Watson. There's a couple guys that, you know, I still keep in contact with. Mm-hmm. That was on my team, you know, through my 4 years there. Overall, I'm not really too familiar with a lot of the new faces that were there. I'm familiar now because, you know, they're playing. But, yeah, I'd say those are the main guys that I've been, you know, pretty close with.
All right, Michigan and Penn State. I'm not going to ask the question who you got because we already know. You're going with U of M, of course. That'd be a waste of time, I tell you that. But, Alan, thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to tomorrow night's game between the Wolverines and the Nittany Lions at Happy Valley. Thanks so much for your time this afternoon, Alan.
All right, thanks for having me, Al.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Zach Berridge, WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. He will help us preview the final regular season week in high school football action. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to I just had to think about, hold on, what is this song, Isaac?
I gotta look this up.
I just stopped in my tracks.
Bank. Oh my gosh.
From Detroit's West Side. It's like an intro for me, man. I'm from Detroit's West Side.
That's amazing.
I stopped in the middle of Welcome Back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. That's hot stuff, man.
Wow.
Save that one. Save that instrumental, whatever this is. Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team, along with Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team, will partake in MSU Madness. I will be the MC for the third straight year. Looking forward to it tonight at the Breslin. We've seen Coach Izzo, you know, pull off some, you know, some interesting costumes over the year, Isaac. Some interesting introductions over the years. He, you know, was Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible in 2015. In 2014, he was a member of the rock band Kiss. In 2013, he was a stuntman and got shot from a cannon, so we thought, right? Back in 2012, he was Iron Man. Just a quick prediction on what he does tonight.
I won't give a prediction because I will
wrong.
I will be wrong. I've got no idea. So I'm going to give an off-the-wall prediction.
Of course you're going to be wrong. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. What if he went as the clown from It?
That'd be great.
That'd be hilarious.
Well, he may scare the kitties. I don't think
exactly.
That.
And that's why I don't think he'll do it. That's why I say it's an off-the-wall prediction. But at the same time, that would be unbelievable.
That would be. All right, I'll release my prediction later on in the show. But right now, I want to roll in a pre-tape interview that we had with Zach Berridge around a little after noon today. Zach Berridge, of course, WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. Zach will now help us preview tonight's final Friday night of the 2017 local high school football regular season. All right, Zach, when you look at things right now, there are a few local teams that have 5 wins right on the fringe of a playoff berth. You have Okemos, you've got Lansing Sexton, you've got Williamson St. John, Saranac, Carson City Crystal, and Weberville. Out of those slew of teams, there's a lot of teams locally that are right on that fringe. Who do you think has the best shot of getting that sixth win and etching a spot in the playoff?
I think Sexton will be up there, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, not to we know what Eastern is, but mm-hmm. I think, like I told you last week, I don't think Sexton necessarily needed the sixth win. But if you're gonna ask who's the shoe-in to get the sixth win, you know, I don't see Eastern breaking its losing streak. Okemos is going to have a heck of a time, though. You know, they go out and they go 4-0, and then they lose their next 3. They win last week to stay alive against Holt, mm-hmm. which but I told you I was going to that one, and I think I showed up for the wrong half because that was 0-0 at the end of the first half. And,
I was very shocked watching that unfold on Twitter. Yeah.
But I mean, they brought it. They scored 3 touchdowns in the second half, and Okemos, they're still alive. East Lansing, you know, it's always interesting. Week 9 is such a strange week outside of the CAAC Blue just because you go back to non-conference virtually everywhere else.
Right.
And traveling outside of the area, there isn't necessarily a lot of local conference crossovers. But mm-hmm. It's interesting always when you see a team like East Lansing who clinched a playoff berth last week with a win mm-hmm. over Sexton. They got their 6th win. Do they, you know, how do they come back and play for this? Because, you know, technically I think they still have a shot for a tie or to take a share of the CAAC Blue title.
They do.
If Holt upsets Grand Ledge and if East Lansing wins. So they still have something to play for. So, you know, Okemos isn't going to have, it's not going to be easy for them, but if they can somehow dig up what they've done in the early stages of the season. I know they've had some injuries. You know, there's they can beat East Lansing.
Definitely.
Yeah, they have a fantastic defense, but Okemos can beat them if you know they play like we've seen them before, maybe not so recently.
When looking at those, again, that list of teams, for a few of them, let's say there are a few that don't get that win tonight and sit at five wins. Again, we've seen, you know, the MHSAA taking consideration multiple areas, including strength of schedule. When looking at that list locally, again, Okemos, Lansing Sexton, Williamson, St. John, Saranac, Carson City Crystal, and Weberville, could any of those teams get in with five wins?
Yeah, Sexton would. Weberville, just because eight-man is a little bit different in how they, you know, it's not necessarily the hard six-win. At least that's how I understand it. I think it's a little bit different just because there's 32 teams out of 68, man, so better than half the field gets in or something like that.
Okay, gotcha.
Into the tournament. So Weberville's got a shot. Williamson was a five-win playoff team last year, too. Remember, they five-win Williamson versus five-win Sexton, and they went on and played that. Big Reds won that game in the first round. But
and for the Big Reds, Zach, I mean, they're playing Lansing Eastern. If they do fall to Lansing Eastern,
yeah, I guess.
Do you put them in?
You know what? Maybe I'm glad I'm not the person who has to make those kind of decisions. But, right. You know, I always root for an entertaining game, but I don't expect an upset.
No, we don't. Right. Just kicking around scenarios.
Right.
Yeah.
One last thing just with Williamston, though, because the reason I think that they did get in is because of their strength of schedule last year. They beat Lake Fenton. You remember that in week 9?
Exactly.
They were sitting on four wins. They played Lake Fenton, which was unbeaten at the time and ranked in the state. It was a massive upset, and that's what got them in. They're playing Lake Fenton again tonight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, can they do that same sort of thing? I don't think Lake Fenton is undefeated again, but you know, they're a power team, you know, at least in recent years. So another interesting matchup there, and they'll have to go on the road to do it this time.
Definitely. Again, we're talking with Zach Berridge of WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. Week 9 of the high school football year, the final regular season week, and then we talk playoffs. How about that, Zach? Looking at this season, I can't believe it's already been week 9, right? It's hard to just think about. But when looking at how this regular season has gone for our local teams here, what are your biggest surprises and favorite moments of the regular season? What have been, I should say?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed kind of paying attention to the teams that we're going to get in for the first time or we're trying to follow up. I know it's a little bit outside, but we cover a lot of the Jackson area schools, too. You know, Lumen Christi is always a fun team to follow. And then there's Michigan Center. They got in, I think they're they're 7-1 so far. And that was a big, big, big year for them getting into the postseason. I think it was the second time in school history last year. And so they're following it up and, you know, kind of paying attention to some of those. But I mean, then there's Olivet, who's 8-0. It's the only undefeated team in the area, and you kind of love to root for an undefeated team. They'll be they're at Battle Creek Penfield tonight, so they have a legitimate shot of going 9-0. Definitely enjoyed following them and putting them on our show Friday nights. And I'm an 8-man fan.
I love 8-man football.
Yeah, isn't
as
it
well.
Fun to watch?
It's different to see, and you know it kind of like, you know, it took a while for me to kind of get adjusted to it, watching it, I should say, because I'm used to seeing, you know, 11 on 11.
Right.
And it kind of, I feel like it shrinks the field just a bit, but I like to see those one-on-one battles that happen in 8-man football. It's pretty fun.
They bring the sidelines in a little bit,
right?
But with six less people on the field, it feels a lot less crowded. And,
right.
And for people like me who are shooting highlights on Friday and you need to get touchdowns, boy, you get 60 to 65 point games sometimes. So there's
it's like a basketball.
Yeah,
score.
There's plenty of scoring. And so to my point, there's I've enjoyed seeing Morris kind of bounce back because they were terrific 2 years ago, and then they're a little bit disappointed. I think they were 4-5 last year or something, but now they're sitting 7-1 and look to be one of the real powers in 8-man football. So hopefully they can kind of stretch something out into the postseason.
Do you have a favorite play or a favorite moment? That's tough because you see highlights.
That is
so many highlights. Yeah, you know,
at some point they all kind of blend together, and I'm trying to think of a big upset or something. But you know, I guess I don't have a good answer. Nothing really sticking out for me at the moment. But yeah, like you said, I think it's just kind of a product of seeing most of it happen and 9 weeks just like that. It's all one. But it just feels like, you know,
Right.
It feels like week four or something because, you know, we had those Thursdays to start the year, before Labor Day.
That's true.
And suddenly it's week nine and we're into the postseason next week. So, yeah, it went fast. I guess I'll have to get back to you on a favorite moment.
It is flown by, Zach. So you look at the field now and you look at some of our local teams. When we talk Thanksgiving break down at Ford Field, which local teams do you expect to be competing for a state championship?
I'm interested to see what Olivet does in the postseason. You know, any undefeated team is going to have a little bit of, buzz around them, obviously. I've only seen them personally once. We've had on our show, a handful of times. But they seem to be – they play very, very, very good defense. And that was evident against Lakewood, which is another very good team. And, they beat them pretty good. Then there's, the Blue Chippers – Pomo Westphalia.
Exactly. They're always there.
Yep.
always in the conversation.
And then in, what is that? Is that Division 6, I think? Yeah, Division 6, Ithaca, 8-0. Jackson Lumen Christie is 7-1. Those are number 1 and number 2 in the state. Mm-hmm. They didn't face each other in the state title game last year. Ithaca lost, I think, in the state semis. Mm-hmm. But, that's potentially shaping up to be a really, really, really interesting time at Fort Field. Both those teams make it. I think Lumen Christie has another shot to repeat. So those are the ones off the top of my head. Portland's always in there too.
Right.
You talk about a good story. That's one. And I think I've talked about this on the show before is how they lost, 6 of their starting skill players on like a depth chart.
Right.
And that's what they were facing 2 years ago when they lost their entire offensive line. They just came back and they reloaded and they did it just fine. And there's teams in the area that are good and there's teams that are noticeably, you can always see them getting better week to week. And Portland is one of those, which,
great coaching, John.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely. And they play a style that is fun to watch. They throw it and they run it and it's they tend to play pretty good defense too. So, that's the one that would jump off to me too. This might be the year for Portland if they can, the stars align and they can make that kind of run.
For as far as the Sports Blitz is concerned this year, Zach, I know we chatted at week one about, how you guys wanted to start highlighting the bands from week to week to week as well. Yeah. I'm curious, how has that gone through now 9 weeks that you guys have been highlighting certain schools' bands?
Yeah, we've actually gotten some pretty decent feedback.
Nice.
I know that it's a sport in its own that doesn't get really any coverage. It's hard, for people like us, how do we show highlights of the band or whatever? But what we've been doing basically is just showing kind of a 30-second supercut of some of the performances, either pregame or at halftime. School fight songs. We like to get up with the drum lines when they come up on the to the student section and they go to town. You can, if they mind, they don't say anything, but they don't seem to mind us getting right up next to them and filming.
Right.
And we've gotten pretty good feedback with we've had 9 shows already because we did 2 shows in week one because, half the teams were on Thursday and half were on Friday.
Right.
So through the 9, we've covered 9 different schools. And I think it's been great so far. It's cool to give another aspect of the game of football because it's not just the football players.
You've got
the cheerleaders atmosphere. And the band and, right. and the fans and, mascot sometimes can be a featured on the highlights. So
I love Pirate Pete. That's my guy.
He's the one. And then the Holt Ram is always out there dancing around too. He's kind of fun. So
very true. Isaac, I tell you what, man, because I want to ask Zach about this as well. When it comes to student fan bases, I must say, when we went to the DeWitt and Grand Ledge football game, the DeWitt fan base, Zach, and the DeWitt fan base is unlike any high school fan base I have ever seen. So rowdy. They have like these huge speakers outside that fill up the entire field and stadium. I don't know if any fan base here locally is topping DeWitt's fan base.
Yeah, they're my number one, too. I'd throw Lansing Catholic into the realm of honorable mention, but they don't beat DeWitt. DeWitt is the best. They play all sorts of different types of music. They've got dance routines set out in the student section, not just with the cheerleaders. In the student section, it is organized, it is rapid, and it is crazy. I love that fan base.
For sure.
I didn't mean to leave, for whatever reason. I left those two teams out, DeWitt and Grand Ledge, obviously. Like every single year, they've got a shot to make runs. I guess I'd...
They're
there every single year, so I guess I overlooked them. But those are obviously two of the top teams in the area, too. But to that, though, I've seen that a lot this year too. Maybe it's new. Is the student sections will have this big a booming speaker in the middle with a big horn and a woofer too. I've seen it at Okemos. They do it, and I've seen it at Waverly too. And the other thing about Waverly, if we're talking bands, is their band plays "Sandstorm" by Darude, and it makes me laugh every single time because that's a really really fast song. Yeah. If you know what I'm talking about, kind of that classic house song from our younger years.
And they probably they go pretty crazy when they come.
Oh, it's so funny, and I always pay attention and film that every time they shoot this, because I've never heard a band play a song like that, right. So it's a lot of fun.
All right, again, that was my chat with Zach Berridge, pre-tape chat with Zach Berridge of WILX TV 10, highlighting Week 9, the final week of regular season local high school football action. We have about 9 minutes left in the show, and right now I want to get to our final guest of today's Current Sports. His name is Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety. Otis now is here to preview the Michigan State and Indiana homecoming matchup that will be a 3:30 p.m. kickoff. Unfortunately, Otis, you know, I want to start by addressing and getting your thoughts on the news that broke yesterday concerning Michigan State junior running back L.J. Scott. No word has been revealed whether or not Michigan State plans to hold him out of tomorrow's game or make him sit out a half. Who knows? But your reaction to L.J. Scott arrested on a suspended license on Wednesday.
You want my honest opinion?
I want your honest. Yeah, of course. Come on. Yeah, keep it real, man. Keep it real.
I got you. I'm just kidding. L.J. Scott, as soon as I read that news, immediately I thought, man, he can't get right. He can't seem to get a break. I mean, he just had a career rushing game against Minnesota. He set out against a rival Michigan due to a shoulder injury, and then now we have this. And then come to find out it's the seventh time you've been arrested or you've been violation of your driving. So it's one of those things where you figure out, okay, LJ, man, you need to stay in the football facility and you need to figure out, hey, do you love football or are you looking for the next step already, which is going to the NFL? Like, I think a lot of people have questioned that. Like, his mindset has already been going to the NFL when you know where you're at right now. And so, I mean, I'm praying for him. I mean, I hope all the best. I know Coach D is going to do the necessary thing that for the team perspective of, hey, you violate rules, you got to pay the consequence. And I think he's had a lot of breaks in his career where, you know, it could be where Coach D says, you know, hey, we support you, but you got to pay the price, or, you know, we got to let you go. But I'm hoping for the best, though.
Otis, I know you being a former player for the Michigan State football team, and just an athlete in general, I know that you probably know some athletes who have gone through off-the-field problems, and possibly that has trickled over to, you know, their performance on the field. And I'm just curious to get your thoughts on mentally, how this can hurt L.J. Scott, or possibly help him? You know, possibly use the field as a safe haven to get away from the off the field drama that he now has to undergo. But you know, on the field, you know, he's had a turnover problem. Mentally, where do you think L.J.'s headspace is?
Man, it's hard to tell because I feel like he won us all back when he came to Minnesota. Like, the guy was running like, back when it was the run of beating Iowa won the Big Ten championship, you saw that glimpse of LJ's back. And then all of a sudden you get this happening where it's like, man, if you're on campus, I mean, walk. It's beautiful. It's
right.
Beautiful weather right now. Walk to your destination. You have friends who got their license. Like, you know that you cannot drive with a suspended license. So why chance that when you have your future in your hand? So it's one of those, I think mentally he's everywhere, and I think it's one of those where this is probably the time where it's going to humble him, and he's got to really grow from it. I mean, so for that minor violation, I think it's not worth it to have that, and then being able to jeopardize your team chemistry, the team's goals of, hey, we're back at where we need to be, you know, as a team. And so I think it's just a lot of
you know, distractions where Coach D is like got that team where they're thinking about, you know, only team-oriented things versus, you know, a single-handed guy doing, hey, you're fumbling the ball, you're not mentally there in the game, and now you're off the field issues have caught up with you. So it's time will tell, man. I'm hoping that, you know, the decision will be, okay, he'll sit out this game and possibly, you know, pay the fine because I saw November 2nd is supposed to go on the court for that. So
right, right.
I'm hoping that everything will kind of follow suit and pay, you know, play its course. And then hopefully he's back. But I know that it's next man up mentality with Coach D. So you got Gerald Holmes and you got Madre London. So now right. we got two running backs where, you know, they can get the touches that they need and want. And we'll see how it goes on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I saw a report from Channel 6 News, WLNS TV 6, Fred Heumann, sports director at Channel 6. Fred reported that he talked with LJ's lawyer, and his lawyer said that he was driving on his way to, he got there. He was trying to handle his license situation for whatever reason. He couldn't at the moment and on his way driving back home is when he got pulled over. So who knows? Of course, his lawyer is going to argue that. Who knows if that's true or not? Who knows? But we got about 1 minute left here, Otis.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, we got about 1 minute left here, and I'm pretty sure you got some thoughts on what I just said, what I just stated concerning that report, right? Yeah, exactly. But your thoughts on this game, Michigan State, Indiana. We got 1 minute. Just quick thoughts and predictions on this matchup.
Predictions. If we can control the offense, we know IU's offense is always up tempo. They run a quick offense. I mean, it's quicker than, you know, we usually prepare for Northwestern. They're no huddle, but these guys are running that offense quick. And we can control that. And, you know, little Peyton Ramsey, you know, he's young, but he has some experience and understanding of that offense. I think if we can control that and control those big time plays that IU will make on offense, I think we'll win this game, and I'm just wanting to see that we can win a game convincingly where, you know, Minnesota, you saw last weekend where we lost control at the end and Minnesota started coming back with, you know, Demaryius Croft. And so
right.
IU probably did some game planning, saw some holes, and I think we tightened up on this past week. So I think we'll see a good defensive standout from our defense and our offense just win the game on the ball, running the ball, man.
Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety. Otis, thank you for taking some time this afternoon to join us, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. See ya.
All right. We'll see you Monday, folks. Have a great homecoming weekend. As always, take care and be easy, people.